Let's start with Ukraine, because the convergence of signals coming out in the last 48 hours is striking. You have Macron declaring that Europe and the United States are in a reconvergence on Ukraine's strategy. You have NATO officials on the record saying Ukraine's strikes are threatening Putin's hold on power. The State Department using the phrase winning the war for now. And Trump, whose relationship with Zelensky was famously hostile, calling him courageous. That is a very different diplomatic atmosphere than we were describing 6 months ago.
The Berlin meeting is the key structural piece here. Europe's five biggest military powers, France, Germany, the UK, Poland, and Italy, convened specifically to align their positions before the NATO summit in Ankara on July 7th and 8th. That kind of pre-summit coordination among the heavy hitters usually signals they're anticipating a contested agenda and want to walk in unified rather than being picked off individually. The fact that Macron is publicly calling this a reconvergence with Washington suggests the internal European concern that Trump would pull back U.S. support has at least temporarily eased.
And the Zelensky-Belarus development adds a concrete military dimension to all of this. Zelensky announced that Russian drone guidance relay stations along the Belarusian border have stopped operating, and he had issued a one-week ultimatum specifically about those stations. Whether Belarus shut them down voluntarily or was pressured behind the scenes, that's a meaningful operational shift. Russian drones using Belarusian territory as a routing corridor had been a consistent tactical problem for Ukrainian air defenses.
The Putin angle is the one I want to press on, though. When NATO officials say Ukraine's strikes are threatening Putin's grip on power, they're not being casual. The Russian economy is under severe strain. Conscription is generating domestic resistance, and there have been documented tensions within the Russian military command structure since the Wagner mutiny in 2023. The question isn't whether Ukraine is making military gains. It clearly is. The question is whether Putin's political position inside Russia is actually deteriorating, or whether that's analytical wishful thinking from NATO capitals.
That tension between operational success and strategic resolution is exactly what the Ankara summit will have to navigate. Macron has been the most consistent European voice, pushing for a diplomatic off-ramp that doesn't humiliate Russia into a corner, while Poland and the Baltic states want no ambiguity about territorial integrity. Those two positions haven't fully reconciled, and the Ankara summit is where they'll have to at least paper over the differences publicly.
Then there's Trump's comment about stopping Erdogan from joining the Iran war. He said, alongside NATO Secretary General Rutte at the White House, that he personally asked the Turkish leader to stay out. That's a remarkable claim, and it tells you two things. First, that Turkey's potential involvement in the Iran conflict was a genuine concern at the highest levels. And second, that Trump sees personal bilateral relationships as the primary instrument of foreign policy, not institutional mechanisms. Whether that approach holds as Ankara hosts the summit remains a real question.
Iran itself is calling the U.S. deal a declaration of America's defeat, which is the kind of framing you use when you're managing domestic audiences rather than international ones. The deal clearly left Iran's negotiators with less than they wanted, but the rhetorical escalation is a signal that hardliners in Tehran need to be managed. Trump formally requesting $88 billion from Congress, roughly $70 billion for Pentagon operations related to Iran, suggests the post-deal phase isn't as clean as the initial headline suggested. You don't request $70 billion in operational funding for a conflict that's fully resolved.
The Senate math is brutal on that request. It needs 60 votes, which means at least a handful of Democrats have to come on board, and several Republican senators have already signaled skepticism about the scale of the ask. Lockheed Martin winning a $35 billion contract to quadruple THAAD missile defense output fits this picture. There's clearly an expectation of continued regional instability, even with the Iran deal in place. You don't four times your missile interceptor production if you think the region has stabilized.
What this week has made clear is that the post-Iran deal Middle East and the pre-Ankara NATO summit dynamics are deeply intertwined. The U.S. is simultaneously claiming diplomatic success in one theater and requesting massive military appropriations for continued operations in the same theater. Europe is trying to lock in U.S. commitment to Ukraine before any potential Trump course correction. And Putin is making contradictory statements about peace talks, shifting his position on negotiations within hours, according to reporting, which is either a negotiating tactic or evidence of genuine internal incoherence at the Kremlin level.